everyone, I'm Tiffany, and you're listening to Talking Nonprofits, a podcast about the world of nonprofits. This podcast aims to amplify the voices and missions of nonprofits. We connect nonprofits to the community and bring awareness to the purpose, leadership strategies, and challenges these organizations encounter. Follow along so you too can learn how to make a difference in your community. I want to take a quick second to thank the sponsor of today's podcast, Leti Entebbe Velasco of Coldwell Banker here in El Paso, helped me sell my house 3 years ago. Leti made the process so easy. She sold my house quickly and was able to get exactly what I wanted for it. Leti made the selling process hassle-free. If you've been thinking about getting that bigger yard or downsizing now that the kids are gone, give my friend Leti a call at 915-820-8281. Leti Entebbe Velasco of Coldwell Banker. On today's podcast, I would love to say we have a special guest, First Lieutenant Scott Klein. Here's a snapshot of Lieutenant Klein. Lieutenant Scott Klein is a well-regarded community activist and entrepreneur. Scott is a published author who hosts Get Down to Business, the name of the book, and as well as the radio show in Chicago, the We All Serve podcast, and serves as an officer in the U.S. Army Reserves as a military police, as well as the chairman of the Village of Skokie Economic Development Commission. Scott holds a doctorate in educational leadership and a master's degree in Jewish professional studies with a concentration in nonprofit management. He is an executive committee and active leader for the employer support of the Guard and Reserve. Welcome to the podcast, Scott. I'm so excited for you to be here.
I'm so excited to be here, Tiffany. This is what I'm super passionate about, and I know we share it, so we are going to have some fun together.
All right, let's have some fun. The first question is, we want to talk about nonprofit management. What is nonprofit management?
Nonprofit management is—it's a journey. It's a journey of passion. That's the best quick synopsis. But nonprofits is—and I know we'll talk over the next little while—it's really the ability to make a difference in your community. And nonprofit management is the exercise of skills that allow you to not just sort of spend money, right and left, but actually to have a budget, to have a staff, to have a plan, have a strategy, have a mission, a vision, a culture, and all of those things that operate in some similar ways to for-profit companies, but in a very not-for-profit manner. And what I mean by that, and I know we'll spend some time talking about it over the next few minutes, is really doing things with a focus completely and totally on impact. So nonprofit management to me is a journey of impact, and it's what I love to do more than honestly anything in the world.
Impact. Okay. Why did you choose nonprofit management as a part of your master's degree program?
I'll digress for a moment and I'll come back to answer the question. I grew up in a family business. I grew up in an accounting firm. I swore as a kid I would never end up in the firm because it just seemed boring to me. I was always the kid that was involved in organizing the local July 4th parade. I was involved in political campaigns. By the way, I was handing out literature. And if something needed to be organized, I was the one organizing it. So you could say that my love for impact and nonprofit started at a very, very young age. I went to school in Israel, Detroit, New York, and really fell in love with working within organizations. And over time, both from my family business, which I, despite making that commitment as a kid, I continued to stay involved in, and I learned a lot of the management skills that continue to guide my management career and even Army career to this day. But I also discovered the different types of organizations that are out there. So I got my first real job, and by real, I mean outside of the family business in New York. I worked for a large nonprofit in New York City that really taught me so much. And then I came back to Chicago, where I was born and raised, and I got involved in a number of companies. But this was in 2009, when the economy was very, very bad in the midst of a recession. And I discovered a lot of people that were out of work and a lot of small businesses that were struggling. So I started organizing a bunch of events, something that I know a thing or two about. I organized a bunch of small business networking events and job fairs, and it exploded in growth. And it's not because I believe I'm the best community organizer. I believe I was touching on the need at the time. So over time, I just continued riding that wave and trying to make an impact. And I'll say this term many times over the, over our conversation, never plateau, always make sure that the impact that I was able to have in the community was continuing to grow and evolve. And then I discovered that this is what I want to make my life. This is how I want to spend my career and turn it from a passion to a vocation. I was offered the opportunity to go into a master's program. I'm very involved, as you know, Tiffany, in the Jewish community. And I was offered the opportunity to go to Spertus Institute, a institution that I'm very near and dear to my heart. And there were a couple of different programs. There was no question in the world that what I would go into was nonprofit management, because I realized that while some of the skills came naturally to me, I wanted to learn how to do things the right way. Regardless of where your audience is, Tiffany, everybody's a part of a community, a military community, a local community, your religious community, your business community, your nonprofit community, and so on. I feel that it's so important not just to be passionate about nonprofit, but when you actually learn the skills, you can actually do more. You could do more with less. You learn how to fundraise money. You learn how to have a bigger impact. So that was a long answer to your short question, but that's why I got into nonprofit management. And I don't regret that decision. It was probably one of the best things that I've ever done in my life, because it's taught me how to be better at what I do. And I use those skills each and every day.
Now, I know that people say, well, nonprofits, they're not supposed to make money. Okay. We know that, but what is the greatest difference between nonprofits and for-profits, Scott?
Very easy, income statements. So the difference between a nonprofit and a for-profit organization is that a for-profit will put together usually an income statement each quarter. And income statements are usually prepared to assess a company's financial performance, whether it's monthly, quarterly. Instead of income statements, nonprofits will typically provide to donors and the general public a statement of activities, an annual report, which will include all the revenues, expenses, and plus net assets. But ultimately, it is about impact. It's how were your dollars being spent to achieve that mission that we set out to achieve. And not-for-profits, that is the accountability. For-profits, the accountability is going to be, how much are we producing in dividends? How are we returning money to our investors? You know what nonprofit investors are? It's donors. And you know what they're expecting? They're expecting to see, how are the kids in our community being supported? How are the homeless being taken care of? How are the pets in our shelters getting the care that they need? That's the difference between not-for-profit and for-profit. Income statements.
I like that. You were in charge of a nonprofit before. Would you talk about that as well?
Absolutely. So my career went in a interesting order or cycle. I think what you're supposed to do is, when you start your career, you're supposed to work in a job and then slowly work your way to become a supervisor, a manager, a leader, a director. And then eventually end up in the world of consulting. My career has gone in exactly the opposite order, and that's okay. It's all fun. So I, as I mentioned a moment ago, I discovered the need and the tremendous opportunity that existed around unemployment and around small businesses. I did, as I mentioned, have exposure to nonprofits throughout my life, but also through working in nonprofits around the world, quite literally. But my first real exposure where I got to understand nonprofit management was in actually starting a nonprofit. So I started an organization in 2009. And I'll be honest, I didn't know what I was doing. And that's why my master's degree did help me quite a bit. I formed a nonprofit entity, first at the state level, and then ultimately ended up sending it to the IRS and got my 501c3, so people could actually make donations to the organization, and then started activities. It was very important that I did that, because I learned a lesson early on that, you know, Scott Klein can run programs and activities, but ultimately, if somebody were to complain about the programs or activities that I was doing, they weren't really complaining against the organization. They were actually complaining against Scott Klein because there was no veil of protection between the organization and me personally. So very, very important lesson to all of your listeners and your audience is make sure you do things the right way. That legal veil of protection, having that blanket over what you do is super important. It's worth spending the, usually it's less than $100 to do it on the state level and taking the time. There's often a lot of pro bono attorneys that are out there. And I started a nonprofit. Over time, because of the work that I was doing, I also was recruited onto several nonprofit boards of directors. That's what we call in the nonprofit world, lay leadership. I have joked with my wife many times over the years. We've been married now for 9 years. And for the bulk of that time, the majority of the hours that I put in every day are on things that cost me money rather than things that make me money. And what I mean by that is usually many nonprofits, as you know, Tiffany, you know, you're donating, whether it's a couple of dollars or a few hundred dollars a year to support the efforts. So not only was I not getting paid for my involvement, I was paying them to spend the time and to be involved. So I've had that vantage point of governance, of actually sitting in many, many late night board meetings and fundraising. And we could talk some more about both of those two sides, governance and development fundraising. But over time, I've established my own nonprofits. As I mentioned, the organization focusing on small business, jobs, and entrepreneurship. And then over time, I've also been hired by many dozens of organizations to actually run their organizations. I've been an executive director. I've been a board member. I've been a founder. I've been a chairman. I've worn all of those titles over the past, it's hard to believe this, but about 12 years.
12 years. So tell me the advantage between a traditional business in a nonprofit career. What are the advantages over that, if there are any?
Yeah, you know, the truth, I'll be honest with you, Tiffany, they both have advantages. I mean, both advantages, disadvantages. And I've been in both hats. I mentioned I grew up in a family business, in a small business. I've started my own businesses too over time, for-profit entities that I'm very proud of. A for-profit entity, as I mentioned, it's income statement. Ultimately, your goal is how you are measured of your success is, are you making money at the end of the year? Do you have more money in the bank? The nonprofit, that's important. And I think that a lot of people get that wrong. When you say not for profit, it means that you have to be broke and you have to, end of the year, you have to be in debt. If you're doing that, you're a very, very bad not-for-profit director or executive. You should not have a negative balance in your bank account. That should not be the goal of a not-for-profit. But small businesses are fun. And you mentioned I have a doctorate in education, so I've taught many classes on entrepreneurship and small business management. And I think that where the similarities are is passion. Usually within small businesses and usually in not-for-profits, there's people that bring a lot of strong passion to organizations, to your entity, and you want to take care of your customers, but you have different types of customers. In the small business side, you have customers that might be coming into your store or calling you and asking for your services. And on the not-for-profit side, you've got people that are in need, that are calling on you and asking for your help to address that need. So when you're talking about impact, there's no question that the advantage is on the not-for-profit side. When you're talking about the, call it freedom, the independence, it's on the small business side. And we haven't touched on big businesses or the corporate side because that's a whole different animal. But small businesses, there is independence. Bottom line, you're not accountable to anybody. Not for profits, by its very definition, the way governance is in place is to make sure that you have a board of directors, that you have people that are holding you, the not-for-profit director, accountable, and that you're not just pocketing the money. And that's exactly the way it should be. Ultimately, not-for-profit governance and development are absolutely critical. So they both have advantages, both have disadvantages. I'm passionate about both of those two areas, both small business and not-for-profit. But not for profit, it is, as I keep using that word, it is about impact and it is about mission.
What steps are required to start a nonprofit? Please tell me.
I see the look on your face, Stephanie. Absolutely. And I'll preface this answer by saying that always, first of all, consult a lawyer and consult an accountant. And there's a lot of just wonderful people that are trying to make a real difference. And I've met amazing, amazing people. And if you're trying to build your board for your nonprofit, make sure you're recruiting those people, because they can assist you in the process as well. Recruit an accountant, recruit an attorney, and they can help you in that journey. I'm not the expert. I am hopefully a subject matter expert, that I do know a thing or two about this. So the first step in starting a nonprofit is to know what your mission is. And that's critical, because nobody else will tell you later on. You need to have sort of the screws on very, very tight. You need to know what you're getting after. If you are starting a nonprofit and just saying, I'm organization ABC NFP, not for profit, and you just are starting a nonprofit just for the sake of starting a nonprofit, then you're probably doing things wrong. You need to know what you are setting out to accomplish. So having a mission statement and a vision statement is absolutely critical. And by the way, same advice is true in business too, is you do need to have a mission statement. A lot of businesses don't go after that. I think it's so important that you know what your goal and what your objective is. The next step I'd say is definitely making sure that you have your structure in place properly. And that includes, as I mentioned before, having a legal entity. So you're not just doing things on your own. It's very important that you establish a set of QuickBooks, which, by the way, there are free versions that are available. So literally, even if you only have one transaction a month, you're just literally just making one deposit a month, or maybe writing one check a month. It's very important that you have it logged, because especially as a nonprofit, you have a responsibility to your donors. Even if you are the donor, you have a responsibility to a board of directors, which we'll talk about in a moment. And then you have a responsibility of reporting to the government, because again, you are a not-for-profit entity. So because of corruption in the past, there certainly are many examples that we can go through of not-for-profits that have done things improperly over the years, the government keeps a watchful eye. The IRS or your state officials, they pay attention to what the not-for-profits are doing, because it's very easy to go out online and place a Facebook ad and say, hey, I'm raising money for my dog shelter. And what happens if there's no dogs in that dog shelter? So there's accountability and there's watchful eyes on that. So definitely, again, establishing, as I said, the mission, establishing the legal entity, establishing the financial piece, and then the governance piece, having a board of directors, finding people. Start off with your friends. Start off with friends and family. There's no rule saying that you can't have friends and family on your board of directors, but establish an accountability structure. Maybe it's a monthly meeting, maybe it's a quarterly meeting. And the meetings don't need to be for more than 30 minutes. But at that meeting, you give your sort of the state of the not-for-profit address, where you say, here's how much has come in, here's what we're spending on, here's the impact that we've been able to have in our mission to help animals in the local El Paso area. And give that report. Develop partnerships with other organizations. You're not in this alone. Find other organizations that you could partner with. They will help you with the marketing, which leads to the next category, which is definitely making sure that you're raising awareness about the work that you're doing. This will help you bring money in and will help you expand your impact. You might initially think that your reach is only in, let's say, El Paso, but maybe you're going to find out that through partnerships, hey, the need exists in Las Cruces too. And suddenly you're spreading all throughout Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and who knows where else. And then finally, definitely, again, raising money is very, very important. You need to have a plan and a strategy of either bringing in revenue. So you might decide to do a dinner or a fundraiser, or you might just, instead of putting on events that maybe people don't want to come to, you're actually soliciting, you're actually calling people, cold calling people and saying, hi, I'm Scott, I'm Tiffany, and I'm raising money for the XYZ organization. We accomplished this and this and this for our poor puppies that are abandoned on the street, and you make those calls. So I walked through a lot over the past few minutes, but those are, I think, some of the actions that you need to take. There's so much more as your organization expands, including hiring staff. which is important, because realizing that hopefully if you're doing this right, you're going to expand to just doing this in your spare time and in your off hours while also juggling a full-time job. Hopefully you'll be able to hire people and get your own volunteers that will work within your own organization. All of those things are critical to the establishment of a successful not-for-profit organization.
Well, you laid some knowledge on me for sure. Now, what's some skills that a nonprofit executive director should have, or some skills they should gain as they progress to being a nonprofit exec?
So the most important skill is the dynamic personality. Because, you know, in line with the last point that I just mentioned, is your goal is that it should not be all about you. It's not a Scott Klein or a Tiffany Hopper show. The goal is that it's all about your stakeholders. It's all about the people or the individuals that you are trying to service. So the most important thing is being dynamic and being a captivating leader, because I believe that a nonprofit leader, most of their time is going to be spent likely focusing on external affairs. And that means fundraising money and developing partnerships and bringing in volunteers and managing board relations. I've sat on boards of directors of organizations that are multi-million dollars, that have many tens of employees, and the nonprofit director, CEO, executive, fill in the blank, whatever the title is, that's where they spend the majority of the time. Ultimately, you can bring somebody in, or you could even have a member of your board that serves as the treasurer and does the finances. You could have a member of your board that does the legal. Having a nonprofit leader that just focuses in one of those areas, almost I'll be so bold as to say you're doomed. You're doomed for failure. You don't want to get stuck in the office. You need to be out and about, and you need to be on the phone, and you need to be meeting people at Starbucks, something I do a lot of, as you know, and developing relationships. So having that captivating personality, having that passion that hopefully is almost contagious, that they're out and about and that they're talking about why they do what they do and able to tell their own story. And hopefully it just draws people in, that people want to say, hey, I want to be involved. And by the way, I'll say that I know people that have essentially found their job by volunteering in nonprofit organizations because they've been so passionate about the cause. And I'm thinking of a social service organization in particular is in mind right now. I know somebody that's now the executive director of a fairly large organization because they started as initially a volunteer at that organization's fundraiser. And because their passion was noticed by others, they ended up as a board member, ultimately ended up being hired as a manager, and then ended up, they're now serving as the executive director of the organization that they started with maybe 5 years earlier.
I always say volunteering, it opens a lot of doors, putting yourself out there and sharing your time, talents, and skills. So yes, volunteering does pay off for the organization as well as for the individual. Now let's talk a little bit more about fundraising. Fundraising is such a big component of nonprofits. How big is it? And then what can executive directors who are not into fundraising, I know they have to be, how can they just take that bull by the horn and get that money? Because it's about, you can't make an impact if you don't have the funds to do it, correct?
100% correct. 100% correct. Okay, so you asked the question of how important is it? It is critical. As you just said, you can't have the impact unless you have the funds. If somebody finds out how, then please, I guess, make sure you message both Tiffany and I, because you need the funds. Money makes the world go round. They say that for sure. It's huge. That said, it is also not the hardest thing you're going to do. In fact, I'd argue and say fundraising is probably one of the easiest things that you can do, because fundraising equals storytelling. Along the lines of what I was just saying a second ago. And I think that that's one of the biggest misnomers, one of the biggest things that people get stuck on when it comes to nonprofits, both on the lay meaning as a board member, a lot of the reasons why people say no to volunteering within an organization or becoming a board member is because they think, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to fundraise all this money. It's going to be so hard, so hard. And one of the reasons why a lot of people are scared to start a nonprofit because they think, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to call people and have those awkward, uncomfortable conversations asking them for money. The truth is you have to get through some of those conversations to sort of develop your stride. And I remember that moment where I had that aha moment where I went from being awkward and in a meeting where I was like beating around the conversation. And I was like, well, it's so great to see you again, sir. And, by the way, I mean, I've been involved in this cause, and I hope I'm not bothering you. I hope I'm not wasting your time. And I think I apologized about 25 times in the conversation before I got to it. And probably by then this guy was ready to leave the conversation. The truth is, you need to do your research in advance, and you need to make sure that you're talking to the right people. But if you're talking to the right people, if you're, let's say you're volunteering for a special needs organization, and you're talking to somebody that is involved in that space already, they're sold. They want to give money to you. They are looking for you to make it easy on them. They want to hear what you are doing to accomplish their mission. Look at the data. Look at the data of what's out there of nonprofit giving. Look at the Philanthropy News Digest, PND. It's an awesome resource that shows the different organizations and the different foundations that are out there. And the money is out there waiting for you. You just have to be willing to tell your story. And don't feel bad. Don't ever apologize for asking the right people for the money. Don't be afraid of a no. If it's a no, it's okay. But realize that if you do your preparation in advance, meaning literally you stand in front of the mirror and you practice your pitch, you practice your explanation, tell your story of why are you involved. That's what people want to see and hear. Practice that multiple times. Make sure you're talking to the right people. No, you don't want to just open up a phone book and just randomly cold call people. Cold calling is dead. You don't want to do that. You have to develop relationships, and that takes time. That's, again, goes back to the role of a nonprofit leader, is your goal was cultivate relationships. And no, on day one, you don't want to ask people for you know, to support the organization and to fund the entire next year's budget. On day one, you probably just want to get to know them. And even if they offer you, even if in that conversation they'd say, hey, Tiffany, you know, do you need funds? Say, you know what I'd rather have you do, sir, ma'am? I'd rather have you come and see the work that I'm doing in person. Come along for a tour. Let me show you. I guarantee you, you're going to get more funds out of that visit because you will have sold them on the impact if you're talking to the right people. So fundraising is huge, but fundraising is fun. It's storytelling.
Okay, I like that sentiment, telling your story. So you are a published author. Get down to business. But before we came onto the podcast, you stated that you're going to write a book from the nonprofit. So tell us about your book and give us the name of it as well, if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll be very honest. I don't have a name for the new book yet. My first book was called Get Down to Business. You thought you were going to get a scoop out of this, Stephanie. You thought you were going to have an exclusive.
I thought I was. I was trying.
Hey, maybe my next appearance, maybe I'll be ready. But I wrote the first book, Get Down to Business, and my publisher wanted to call it You Can Do It Before 30, because I wrote the book actually right before I came into the Army, and I think I was working on the book when I was 28, but I published it when I was 29, I think. And I'm very privileged. I mean, I've had an interesting experience over time because of the work I've been doing in nonprofit. I've been to the White House during the Obama administration 42 times, and I'm very, very, very proud of the impact that I've been able to have in helping a lot of people find employment and help a lot of small businesses grow. So I'm very passionate about it. So I wrote the book, and it's, to sum it up, it's get down to business, which is my term for essentially entrepreneurship. Let's stop talking about things. Let's get down and let's just do it. Let's get down to business. So the next book, I don't have a title for it yet, but it really is about why I do the things that I do. I mean, I know you and I both work very long hours. What drives me more than anything is not about a paycheck. It's about trying to make a difference. And I know you mentioned in my bio that I'm a officer in the Army Reserves, and that's how you and I have met. That's why I serve. I'm an officer. It's because I want to make a difference. Regardless of the time that I'm in uniform, I've always managed to stay involved in community organizations, both back in Chicago, as well as establish new volunteer efforts in this case, in Fort Bliss, El Paso, to be involved in other organizations. I'm involved in probably 6 different organizations here right now. So I'm going to share those stories in my why in this book, and it will involve both nonprofit as well as service. And you mentioned my podcast as well. We all serve. And it really, I'm very fortunate and very privileged each and every week to get to talk to amazing, amazing people that just exemplify servant leadership. And I see that more than anything in both the nonprofit community, as well as in the military community. And I know you and I are our worlds intersect in both of those areas. So that's going to be book number 2. And as soon as I have more information on that, you'll be the first to know.
All right. Give me that first scoop. Okay. So this is our final question. At Talking Nonprofits, our mission, our purpose is to connect nonprofits to the community. In your own words, what's community to you?
Okay, so community is really everybody around you. Community is your family. Community are the people that you aim to make an impact in. And I believe in never being a bystander, never seeing a problem and thinking it's somebody else's challenge. My wife will guaranteed listen to this, and she's going to make fun of this. She's going to know where I'm going as I start the sentence, is there's no they in my vocabulary. Every time I hear somebody say, oh, they probably didn't, there's no they. If something's not happening, it's because nobody decided to roll up their sleeves and do it. So community is a group of people. It could be friends, family. It could be, as I said earlier, a religious community. It could be your ethnic community. It could be your local neighborhood that you decide that you want to bring people together and make a difference. So community for me is all about why I am, why I get up in the morning, and why I serve, and why I volunteer. It's for all those reasons, because I believe there's something bigger than just me and you. I believe that, I believe in giver's gain wholeheartedly. I believe that you get so much more when you give. I've gotten so much more in return for every dollar that I've given to a nonprofit that I've donated. I can tell you 100%, I've reaped the rewards, and I've been well taken care of. And I can tell you that for every hour I've volunteered, I get so much more in return, and I feel fulfilled. I go to sleep quite tired. That might have something to do with getting up early in the morning, but I feel very fulfilled going to sleep at night, knowing that I did my part in helping those around me. That is community for me.
Wow. I love that definition. And we're going to end on this note. Thank you, Scott. It's been a pleasure interviewing you. And I look forward to learning the name of your book in the future. And I wish you well on your next deployment. I really do.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, Tiffany. I appreciate it. Thanks to you and the Talking Nonprofit community. And looking forward to continuing to see everybody out there volunteering and making a difference in your own community.
Okay. Thank you. Join me each week to learn about a nonprofit's passion and mission by subscribing or following Talking Nonprofits wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, be the difference.